from newstalkzb.co.nz, it's the Mike Hosking Breakfast with BNZ.
G'day there, and welcome to the rewrap for Tuesday. All the best bits from the Mike Hosking Breakfast on News Talk ZB in a sillier package. I am Glenn ZB, and this morning, amazing that we're still talking about Pike River so many years later. Free dental care, is that ever going to happen? Dr. Carl, famous in Australia, not so much here. We'll find out what he's all about. And killer robots, the warnings are still out there. But first up, stuff like international education, you know, international students coming here, it's part of the New Zealand economy, so let's not get in the way of it.
If a person wants to spend thousands of dollars coming here and helping our economy and the education sector by signing up to a course that they want to study, who are we to tell them that's a bad idea or that the provider shouldn't do it? Now, this is a $4.5 billion industry that under new policy will see campuses shrink, if not close, and jobs go. Why would you want to do that to a massive income earner? And there's a theme here. Dairy, our biggest income earner, but we don't like cows or farmers anymore, apparently, because they pollute the rivers and they ruin the environment. Tourism, our next biggest earner, but we don't like the visitors anymore because they cause the road crashes, they use all the toilets and they block the walking tracks. And now it's education. We don't like students because they steal the jobs and they study things the hand-wringing elites don't deem acceptable. Just how is it we want to make a living? I mean, just which industry is it we want to support and nurture and grow? Or is our default position one where everything eventually becomes a hassle and a problem and needs taxing or closing? The fundamental equation is not that complex. Think about it. As a small, isolated nation, at the bottom of the world, we sell stuff. A holiday, some milk, education. We give the world what they want. That's how the bills get paid. Why are we going out of our way to find reasons to make that equation so problematic?
I mean, there's two types of people, aren't there? There are people who try to do things, and then there are people who find reasons for people not to do things. I don't know why they do that, but they do. Oh, there's a third type of person. There's people like me who just never tries to do anything at all and is quite happy. Leave those people alone, definitely. But what I'm saying is if somebody's trying to do something, leave them alone as well. Just let them do it. Within reason, if it means going into a mine that might explode or collapse, maybe not.
Trending now on the Mike Hosking Breakfast.
Tell you what I was interested in yesterday as well was this Pike River thing, and you picked it up. None of the media did. You notice none of the media coverage asked any questions about, hold on, excuse me, what you're saying today about Pike River re-entry is not what you were saying before the election. What's changed? How come you led us up the garden path? And was it deliberate? So here we go from online. Labor backpedalling on Pike River. Talk is cheap when you're in opposition. Another one. So Labor's Pike River is pretty much exactly the same as Nationals. Only difference seems to be to do with the web of bureaucracy they're going to establish. Why can't we just let the men rest in peace? I feel so sorry for the Pike River families. They must feel so betrayed riding an emotional roller coaster. Well, here's my one thing about this. They would appear, in general, the families, from what I've heard post-election, to be happier with the way they're being dealt with by the Labor government than they were with the national government. And given that they are really the sole recipients of any sort of action and dealings, if they're happier, then they're happier. So I suppose that's one good thing. But to suggest that what Labor rolled out yesterday, and we're now talking March 19. Why are we talking March 19, Andrew Little? And where's Winston in all of this, by the way? Is Winston still leading them down the mine, first in charge? Safe as houses. Safe as houses, first down the mine, no problems at all day after the election. What a pile of crap that turned out to be. And why are they not going down the mine immediately? Because it's not safe. And did we or did we not say that all along?
Yeah, it's got your classic feeling of something that you thought you were going to be able to do, but now that you found out that you're actually in charge of it, it's not as easy as you thought it was going to be. But like this whole free dental care thing, Helen Clark was running up the flagpole, so Jacinda could run it back down again.
Physio turned out to be one of the areas where bills were getting paid that made the eyes water. It was one of those loose sort of areas where recovery was a very elastic concept and a few more sessions could always be handed out just to make sure. My strong suspicion is dentistry could go down the same track if we gave it the old it's free for all treatment. I mean, even GPs have seen it. As soon as it became free for kids to go see the doctor, Every member of the worried, well, middle-class fraternity packed the waiting rooms of the nation with little Jemimas and Timmies with their sniffles and coughs. And taxpayers footed the bill, of course. The point is, it's not quality expenditure. It's not bang for buck. It's not actually getting to the specific people who need the help. Now, there is no doubt that accessing the dentist is an issue for a lot of people, but making it gratis for one and all doesn't solve that without sinking us financially, which makes Helen Clark's call via Twitter all the more reckless. And thank goodness our current Prime Minister had the good sense to acknowledge yesterday on the programme it's financially a bridge too far. Here's another truth that might not be too PC to raise, but a lot of the kids, and for that matter adults, who are in desperate need of care are in that predicament because of their life and diet choices. And although a once a year clean and scrape may well help, it won't address the bigger picture. In other words, it's like a band-aid, sort of like pretending a sugar tax will solve obesity. Governments, and we're in danger of forgetting this, every time the country gets run by the left, governments can't solve all issues, pay all the bills, make all the decisions, to put it bluntly, wipe all the bums. Making everything free is a recipe for waste and inefficiency. And of course, it's not actually free at all. That's a con. Nothing's free. It's just shifting the bill to somebody else, whether they want it or not.
I guess the question is, the problems that are caused down the track of people not getting the proper dental care when they need it in the first place, do they end up costing us more? I think that's an argument. I'm not sure, because I don't really believe that dentists are a real thing. They keep telling me that I'm going to have problems with teeth that never eventuate, you know what I mean? Anyway, we'll leave that there for now and go on to a guy who's a doctor in all sorts of things. I don't think dentistry, but he probably knows a bit about it. He seems to know lots about a lot of things. Dr. Carl, famous in Australia, maybe about to be famous here.
Irrationally optimistic. This is what you said about the future. Irrationally optimistic about the future. Why wouldn't everyone be?
Because they don't know the situation. The three things that I'm irrational about or optimistic about are, number one, it is possible to not only stop global warming, but actually to reverse it purely with the technologies, biological and artificial, that we have in place. The only thing stopping us is politics. Number two, the kids are smarter than their parents by 9 IQ points every year. There's a guy in New Zealand who discovered that. And number three, we are living in the most peaceful time ever in human history. What's not to like?
Seriously, prove that last one to me.
There's a book by Steven Pinker called The Better Angels of Our Nature, and he looks at the big scale of the wars, and he looks at the small scale. It's a big book, about 1,000 pages, The Better Angels of Our Nature, Steven Pinker. With regard to wars, people say the most violent war on a percentage basis in history was the Second World War. Mm. Okay, back in the year 755, to put down a revolution internally in China, the Chinese emperor killed one out of every six people alive on planet Earth. One in every three Chinese. It's called the An Lushan Revolt. Genghis Khan, to build the largest land empire ever known, killed one in every nine people. Second World War, one in every 44. That's a big scale. On a small scale, we've got amazing drops in murders, judicial torture, slavery, and violence against people.
See, the next time you're having a bad day, at least you can tell yourself, oh, there's a lot less murdering going on. And that's got to put a smile on your face. We're going to finish up here with a little bit of Killer Robots, just in case you thought the world wasn't ending after all.
Where technologically are we at with them?
We're certainly capable. America and Russia say that they don't have fully autonomous systems on, and that's a sort of a fine definition. One of the issues around this convention is, where does the line get drawn when you say that a human is actually in control of that system? And certainly there are systems around that try and solve a problem. For example, there's, say, the Gatling guns on aircraft carriers. They have to respond to targets coming in very, very quickly, supersonic speeds. And so basically a human, it's very hard to see how a human can actually do the targeting in a system like that. So really, we are there already, to be honest with you. And I think one of the things around having the people in business and people who know what they're talking about around the table, and that's what's happened at this convention, they've actually had people that know what they're talking about telling the policymakers where we're at, and we're there already. So it's not a matter of that. It's a matter of figuring out where we're going to draw the line in the sand and how we're going to stand up about it.
So that guy's name is Philip Solaris. And speaking of types of people, I don't know what it is, but there's a certain timbre to his voice that reminds me of Ian Wishart, Nicky Hager, Paul Buchanan, these people who are always telling us that there is some kind of grand conspiracy, that they're all coming to get us, that the truth is out there, and if we don't act now, we're all going to be put under the pump. I mean, obviously, I'm not saying that the robots aren't coming to kill us. They obviously are, but I'm just saying, you can instantly hear it in their voices. They've just come back from the front door, deadbolting it four different ways, so it can't be broken down, and then they're making their way to their bomb shelter. I am Glenn ZB. That was the rewrap for Tuesday. I'm going to rush off to my shelter now, make sure I've got enough baked beans and bottled water, and I'll see you back here again tomorrow.